Okay, so we're in Proverbs. We've been talking about last week wisdom and wealth. I'm debating whether to have a third one on this topic. I'm not sure. But this one is, and it depends how far we get with this week, of course, as well. So last time we talked about things that are better than money and things money cannot do. Those are the big topics that we discussed. So today, I worked through some old notes. Basically what I'm doing is reworking old notes. And I had a little trouble with looking at my outline from the way back whenever it was I did this. So I thought I'm going to change the way I do it. So we're just going to talk about simple concepts. I've given you a lot of intricate stuff, reasoning this morning. So now we're going to just look at the simple concepts. And I'm going to give you one or two verses from Proverbs. Well, it has something to do with wealth or money, and especially in the idea of acquiring money. So that's what we're going to look for. There's some blanks in each point, and you know, it's read your mind, read the pastor's mind type of thing, and hopefully it'll be profitable. Okay, so first one, Proverbs 16:11, a just balance and scales belong to the Lord. All the weights of the bag are his concern. Proverbs 22:22-23, do not rob the poor because he is poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord will plead their case and take the life of those who rob them. All right, so in that, in those two verses, there's something about the acquisition of money that this is reflecting about God. So what are we... What would you suggest would go in that blank there? Anybody? Maureen? Don't cheat. Well, that's true, but that's not what I'm looking for. All right. Anybody else want to give I've put my sister down. See if I can put anybody else down. Yes. Okay. Right. That's true. Okay, so that's basically Maureen saying something similar there. Okay, so I want you to think about, okay, what, look at the point above. God's what about acquiring money? Christy, you want to go first?
God's opinion.
God's opinion, okay.
God's standard.
God's standard, okay. Anybody else want to try?
God's morals.
God's morals, those are all good. Okay, I'll give you what I put. God's viewpoint. Okay, so what this is saying, now obviously God is saying, be honest, don't cheat on the scales, okay, and so forth. But notice, all the weights of the bag are whose concern? His concern. That's God's concern. Okay, so all of this is the Lord's. And then the other one, do not rob and so forth, for the Lord will plead their case. Okay, yes, he is calling for honesty, of course. And wisdom is, you know, honesty is wisdom. But what we're emphasizing in this point is God's viewpoint. We are contending when we look at money and acquisition of money, we need to think about how God thinks about it. Yes, Maureen.
So could you say then, if you're cheating, it's sort of the idea you're cheating, you're actually sinning against God, not against the person you're robbing from.
Okay, so you are actually, so if you're cheating, you're sinning against God, not just the person you're stealing from. Yes, that's right.
So does it mean nowadays, because of the economy, some people reduce the quality of something because of the money, or they increase the price of a thing because of that thing?
Yeah, okay. Well, that's an interesting question. That's an interesting question. In the economy, if somebody raises prices, okay, are they sinning? Well, I think it depends on what they're doing.
Or they reduce the quality.
Or the other thing, or the quantity. Yeah, they say, new and improved, you get a smaller bottle, right? Okay? So that's, okay. There is a sense in which people who are selling something, they do need to be perhaps a little more honesty in their advertising. Okay, so however, supply and demand and costs, you know, it's one thing if somebody, you know, like if you have a business and it's costing you more to bring the goods in, then you have to raise the prices. It's just the way it is. You're going to have to raise the prices, or else you can't sell the product, right? Because prices go up. Let's say that all of the grocery stores were destroyed, and there was one grocery store, and the guy jacks his prices through the roof because he's the only one. Okay, so now we're talking. Now that's an extreme example. Okay, but that is clearly going past what the Lord is saying. All right, so
this is one I think about too, because I agree. I don't think that's right, but it also can, if the setup is right, it can force competition and things like that too. Getting too far off the point.
Yeah, we might be getting a little too far. But let me just point out. So let's say you're selling. I get contact lens solution all the time. Okay. So new and improved, you get a smaller bottle, bigger price. Okay, now if they were being false, they would put the false quantity on the bottle. Like they're not putting a false quantity. And we all know that everything goes up. There are costs and so forth. But if they were putting, like I don't know how many ounces, fluid ounces, it's like maybe 10, I don't know, 10 in a bottle. And let's say they put 12, said we're selling you 12 ounces, but it's actually only 10. Okay, so that is what we're talking about here. Okay, so market forces will have a bearing on price. That's not what he's talking about. But where you are, or where you're gouging, as people say, like if you're charging way more than you should just because you're the only one, then that's why the government has, we have, what do they call it? Well, weights and measures, but we also have a competition bureau. Okay, so the government does not want any company to have a monopoly, usually. And so they watch that carefully. And they will penalize companies if they are in a monopoly position and appear to be abusing it. Now, then you can debate. There's a whole lot that could go into that. But God's viewpoint is honesty, right? So let's move on to the next one. Okay, so here's the verses, and then we're going to talk about, the point I'm making here is just to derive a basic principle about these verses. Okay, so, ill-gotten gains, Proverbs 10:2, ill-gotten gains do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. First one. Proverbs 11:18, the wicked earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness gets a true reward. Okay, bread obtained by falsehood is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be filled with gravel. That's quite a proverb, isn't it? The acquisition of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor, the pursuit of death. All right, so God's warnings about what?
Righteousness.
Pardon me?
About the danger of
the danger of ill-gotten gains. All right. What?
I said God's warning about unrighteousness.
About unrighteousness. All right. Marlena?
The consequences.
Consequences. Okay. Anybody else want to try? Got some good ones there. Okay, so I'll give you my word. I put the effect. Now, those are all good words. Those are fine. Your words are fine. This is not, you're not graded on the word you put in your blank. Okay, so that's the way it goes. All right, any other comments on this one? Yes, Dennis.
To be trustable with small things will be trustable with great things.
That's right. The man that can be trusted with small things can be trusted with great things. And the thing is that the criminal mind thinks they are going to get ahead by the criminality, but they never get ahead. Even when there's an unsolved crime, they never get ahead. They've got to be in hiding the rest of their lives. And ultimately, they have to face the judge of the whole earth. All right, so, Lee.
Yeah, just the first proverb, the treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but also, like, the treasures of, like, I guess, proper profit or gain don't buy life either.
They don't, right. Money itself does not buy security or life or all those things.
Yeah.
Yes, but there is something about ill-gotten gains that the warning is, there is an effect.
Yeah.
And within the criminal community and such, there's always somebody who is out to get you.
Sure.
You may get ahead, but there's somebody who's going to try to steal from you too. And there seems like there is no security in that. And, the guy can't, amass his riches and then turn off and say, okay, now I'm going to be a good citizen. That's not how it works. Okay. And there's usually a great price to be paid. All right. Anything else that somebody would like to say on that one? All right. So let's move on to the next. Just two Proverbs here. Proverbs 21:3. To do righteousness and justice is desired by the Lord more than sacrifice. This one will require a little thinking. We're talking about an Old Testament context here, so we want to think about it that way. Proverbs 23:27, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he brings it with evil intent? All right, so giving cannot what for ill-gotten gain? Christy?
Atone.
I think you have my word. You do. She got it right off. Look at that. Okay, or you could say cannot compensate. Okay, you can. And so when we talk about giving here, he's talking about the sacrifice. And he says, in the sense, the sacrifice here, in the Old Testament sense, is an offering made to the Lord. And so the idea is that if you have gotten wealth somehow illegitimately, and you think, well, I'll just give so much to the church, and that'll make up for it. That is not how it works with God. And I had a story, I don't have the details in my head and I didn't write it down, so I better not get into that one. Okay, so any comments on this? Any comments on this particular point? Chrissy?
I just think of that verse, and I'm not going to quote it right, but you might does the Lord have pleasure in sacrifices?
Right.
Right,
right. Yeah, and for Samuel. Yes, Lee?
Yeah, with Saul, he performed that sacrifice. The object was right, but he wasn't obedient.
That's right.
So it was an abomination.
That's right. So, yeah, there's a tendency to salve over a lot of our life with religion. You know, like, well, if I go to church, or if I'll do this or that. We can't replace our wickedness with our religious activity. We need to turn to Christ and repent. All right, let's move to the next one here. Four or five of these. Proverbs 10:4. Poor is he who works with a negligent hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. I have this one memorized in the King James, so. And it's a joke. The verse is used as a joke in college dorm rooms, but I'm not going to tell you the joke. Okay, Proverbs 10:4. All right, Proverbs 12:11. He who tills his land will have plenty of bread, but he who pursues worthless things lacks sense. Okay? And then, in all labor there is profit, but their mere talk leads only to poverty. And then Proverbs 20:13, do not love sleep or you will become poor. Open your eyes and you will be satisfied with food. And then Proverbs 20:20, an inheritance gained hurriedly at the beginning will not be blessed in the end. All right, so what is this? The value of what in acquiring money? Christy?
Labor,
all right. Now, you didn't get my word that time, but you're close. Okay, somebody else want to try?
Work.
Pardon me, work?
Work.
Okay, anything else?
Like diligence?
Oh, there you go. She got the word. Okay, we got a gold star for you. Okay. Christy already had one, so she's sharing. Okay. The value of diligence. All right. Is there anything, Proverbs, anything that, one of the things that we can say that Proverbs emphasizes is diligence, hard work. They used to talk about the Puritan work ethic, which built, North America or whatever. Well, that is, we don't get ahead without diligence, right? Hard work and labor. All right, Lee.
I find these verses fascinating, even in today's context, because they seem almost more appropriate. Like back then, if you didn't work, you probably starved.
Yes.
But now, like, I'm not saying society necessarily promotes that behavior, but it certainly props it up.
Well, there's a certain amount of in our yes, we could criticize the welfare culture in some of its aspects by enabling indigence, right? So, Tola.
King James put it this way: there be a man who is diligent in his work, he will stand before kings.
Yes.
And not mean men.
That's right. Right. Yes. I don't have that one in here, but that's right. Show me a man who is diligent in his work, he'll stand before kings and not before mean men. All right, that's right. All right, anything else? Any other comments you'd like to make on this one? All right, so we may get through the whole thing. Oh, I have this quote from the guy I'm borrowing some of these notes from. The opposite of diligence and hard work is laziness. The lazy seek to avoid work altogether. Since they must make money to live, they turn toward schemes and get-rich-quick offers. Proverbs teaches us that these alternatives to work will not succeed. So, I think that when we think about diligence, we should think about this as well. There is a tendency to think, well, if I could just make a big score in this in this pursuit, then I won't have to work again. And that's really not the... often, we talked about lotteries last time, didn't we? And people will think, well, if I could just win the lottery, I'd be set, right? But, you know, if a guy works hard and saves his money and puts things away, he will get... He will acquire a living, a wealth. My dad had a book in his library called How to Get Rich Slowly, but Almost Surely. That was the title of the book. I never read the book, so obviously I wasn't able to implement its advice. Okay, but the principle is true, right? Okay, so, Lee?
Just the last reference, Proverbs, was it 2021?
Yeah. Well, I'm not quite certain what that means there. I mean, obviously, when you when we think of an inheritance, we think of somebody dies and you do get it right away, basically, or the way our government works in 2 years. But all right, so Maureen,
could you, like, some people maybe get their inheritance
early,
when they're younger, as opposed to when they're older and smarter?
Right.
That would be another.
Yeah. Well, when you think about the prodigal son, he came to his father and said, you know, give me my inheritance, right? So, okay.
Actually, in the Spanish Bible.
Okay, tell us what it says.
That word is just for an estate.
Oh, an estate, okay.
So, people go and buy that thing.
Right.
Inheritance, and it's just an estate.
Oh, okay, so gets an estate early. Okay, so in the Spanish Bible, the word is estate or possession. Mm-hmm. So the person who gets rich quick, in other words, is at the beginning, he will not be blessed in the end. All right, so there's a problem with being rich quick. All right. Fred.
The speed of getting rich. I think the world has something to teach us when it comes to money.
Yes.
If you have $100.
Yes.
And put it in the bank, you'll have interest.
Yes.
But it takes time.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Takes a process, yeah. You know, there's a story about a guy who started with, I think it was a paperclip, and he started trading. And I don't know if he did this on the internet or how. He traded his paperclip for something else, and there's a whole story about it. You can look this up. The guy who traded a paperclip for a house, okay? He eventually worked his way up to a house. Now, the house was way off in the sticks of Saskatchewan. It wasn't in the middle of a city or something. But it's quite an interesting story. But by investment, by, you know, hard work, by diligence, okay, you can prosper. All right, Maureen?
So could you, like when you're saying quick rich
schemes. Get rich quick schemes. Yes.
So it's sort of like, would that be like people who, you know, so one of my uncles seemed to always think if I got into this marketing, this particular item,
yes,
you know, and you know, some people can get, what's the right word, be deceived by others who are going to get rich off of them,
right?
Because they've bought something that they're
yeah.
supposed to sell for this other person,
right? Now, so talking about get rich and people who get into these schemes. Now, I may step on some toes. I'll be careful here. Okay, but I had a friend, like every time you met him, he was in a new multi-level marketing thing. Like, I don't know if he did Amway, but he did, like, there was that insurance company that he was into. He was into the Slick 50. Remember anybody knew Slick 50, oil substitute or something? And, like, almost every time you saw him, it was something new. And so, and he did okay, but not from those ventures. Did okay from his other job. It's very interesting how people work. Okay, Rob, go ahead.
These verses talk to me as sort of, misplaced faith. Like faith in money rather than faith in God.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The non-believers especially will think that if I just had money, all my problems would be solved. But our problems are spiritual problems.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a good point.
Your job, but you could get a new job, you know. It's not to solve your spiritual problem.
That's right. Okay, so it's a misplaced faith because people put their faith in the money and what they have. All right, so let's move on to the next one. And this is Proverbs 20:17. Bread obtained by falsehood is sweet to a man, but afterward his mouth will be filled with gravel. We read that one already. Proverbs 21:6. The acquisition of treasures by a lying tongue is a fleeting vapor, the pursuit of death. So the value of what in acquiring money? This is where honesty, this is what you thought beforehand when we talked about verses like this. Okay, so we were talking about God's viewpoint earlier, and honesty, of course, is important. But the value of honesty in acquiring money. So there's weights and measures, that's one thing if you're in the retail business, but there's all kinds of businesses, there's all kinds of ways where people can fudge things to make money. And when I was in real estate, you know, there were realtors who would say things that were not exactly true or were completely untrue to get a deal through for the money. There were people who would misrepresent a property to get money, and and hopefully the system was such they were caught in their dishonesty. But there's also, like, when I was, you know, sometimes I'd run into a small businessman who wanted to sell his business, and realtors would deal in that. And famously, you hear this over and over again. Oh, well, there's two sets of books. Okay, so there's the one that he reports to the government, and there's the real set of books. And you're supposed to buy it on the value of the real set of books, supposedly. My dad had a line that said, you know, he said, what that guy is saying is, I will lie and cheat and steal from the government, but trust me, I'll be honest with you. Right? Okay, so the value of honesty in acquiring money. Okay, I don't think we need to comment on that one too much further. Let's see. The wicked earns deceptive wages, but he who sows righteousness gets a true reward. Okay, and then 13:11. Wealth obtained by fraud dwindles, but the one who gathers by labor increases it. And then Proverbs 16:8, better is little with righteousness than great income with injustice. And then Proverbs 29:4, the king gives stability to the land by justice, but a man who takes bribes overthrows it. So what word would we look at? The value of what here in acquiring money?
Falsehood.
Pardon me?
Falsehood. The value of falsehood in acquiring money.
Well, not falsehood, but the opposite, really.
Integrity.
All right, Christy, that was your word? Okay, I'll give you what I've got here. The value of righteousness or integrity or justice. Okay? So, this is similar to honesty, but it's not just, honesty has to do with the words you say, I guess. Right? You're not lying about it. But integrity means that you just don't even, you always give a square deal. Like if you want to sell a piece of property, or even something on the used Victoria. You sell it, you try to find out what it's worth. Get a fair price for it and offer it for a fair price and whatever. You're not interested in getting everything you can get out of the sucker, right? You want to just, here's my item and get a fair price, righteousness and integrity. All right, any comments on these? Maureen?
Well, I think the last verse is why people are frustrated with government sometimes, because there's bribes or deals to friends or
right.
No accountability. So the last verse is talking about really governance.
Integrity in government, yes, which is sometimes in short supply. All right, Dennis.
I was just going to say that danger is not you have to be a criminal or lie or break the law. There's plenty of opportunity to break God's moral law by doing things that are accepted by our society and that are legal.
That's right, yes.
So I think that's a place to be really careful. Don't pursue or engage yourself in something.
Right, exactly, yeah. So integrity means more than just keeping the law.
Yeah. Clean hands and a pure heart.
Yes, amen, amen. All right. Anybody else have something they'd like to add to that? Okay. So we'll move on to the last one in this section. And so we may get into the next. We'll see. Okay. Do not rob the poor because he is poor or crush the afflicted at the gate. That's Proverbs 22:22. Proverbs 28:24. He who robs his father or his mother and says, "It is not a transgression," is the companion of a man who destroys. Proverbs 28:8, he who increases his wealth by interest and usury gathers it for him who is gracious to the poor. Now that one's a little maybe harder to understand, but what is the, this one might be a little harder to get as I look at those verses, but I have something I'm after in this and we'll see if you come up with it. Any comments? What do you think I'm trying to get at with these verses? Everybody's afraid to answer.
Love thy neighbor.
Love thy neighbor. Okay, well that's good. That's good. Okay, so I'll give you the words that I have. Mutual benefit. Okay, so the idea is this, that the idea of giving a fair, like I said earlier, a fair price for a day's work. Or on the other hand, if I'm a worker, giving a fair day's work for a day's pay, right? Integrity. Okay, so mutual benefit. I have a comment to add to this. Capitalism isn't a system based on greed and exploitation, even though people say that. They'll say that, okay? Rather, it's based on a fair exchange of goods. Both parties benefit in a capitalist exchange, unless one of the other participants is a liar and a cheat. So in a capitalist society, you do need restraints because there are liars and cheats. Okay, but the idea of capitalism is we offer a good or a service for a fair price, and in exchange for the price, we complete the transaction, right? And both parties benefit. So if I, for example, we had the companies come in to pave our parking lot. Now, they offered the service, and I think they offered it at a fair price, market rates and all of the things, the cost that they have going into it, I think it was a fair price. They did a good job for us, all right? I'm very pleased with the work. That's capitalism. It cost us money as a church, but in return, they produced for us. Now, if they'd taken the money and just left us and said, "Well, I'll see you later. We're going to Mexico or something, or Tahiti or wherever," okay, that would not be fair, right? And so so that's capitalism. That's the idea, and that's what I mean by mutual benefit. So do not rob the poor because he is poor or crush the afflicted at the gate. So when you're doing a transaction with somebody like that, maybe you sell a poor person some goods or services. Well, you give him fair value for it.
That's a win-win.
Pardon me?
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win. That's the word we use, isn't it? Yes. That's the idea. That's what it's supposed to be. Because of wickedness of men's hearts, of course, governments have to be involved in supervising and restraining and calling men to justice if there's injustice done. All right, any comments on this? Addie.
Yes. I'm trying to reconcile that last verse.
Yes.
What you just explained.
Okay.
Don't be talking about
Interest and usury.
And interest.
Okay, so I think the key word here, he who increases his wealth by interest and usury gathers it for him who is gracious to the poor. There are some other verses in the Old Testament that talk about usury. Now, in English, or at least in our society, usury means charging a higher, an extreme rate of interest. Okay? There are, interest rates are regulated by the government. And we do have some companies like the, the finance companies or the credit card companies who charge fairly high rates of interest. Okay? If you were to charge 50% interest on something, that's pretty high. Okay, so that would be usury, right? In our use of the word, I think of Israel. They would say that there should be no interest because of the laws of usury in the Old Testament. But then what they would do is they would charge, if they wanted to lend you money, they would charge a lending fee. Right? You'd have to pay back the amount of money, but you would also have to pay the fee up front. Now that's really interest. Okay? But they had a way of getting around whatever the law said and in order to make transactions with money. Now, what the proverb is saying is, in keeping with that, the person who is increasing his wealth by overcharging for money. Then he says the opposite of it is he gathers it for him who is gracious to the poor. Ultimately, God will bring justice, is what the second part of the passage is, or the verse is saying. Right, Maureen, did you want to add something?
So are you saying, so I understand this, that in Israel, that they could charge interest to other people.
That's true, yes.
But they couldn't charge it to their fellow citizens.
That's right,
and
yes.
And the nation. So he's speaking to the Israelite, charging interest to the Israelite. Wouldn't you say that?
Okay, that's probably correct. I'm not quite as familiar with that point as...
I think
you're correct now that you mention that. Okay, so Rob was next and then Lee.
Well, it's a comment from Betty.
Oh, okay.
Betty, if everyone doesn't know, she's a PhD in accounting.
Oh.
She said your explanation prior to this usury thing about goods for services, she said, Pastor just explained the fundamental theorem of trade.
Uh-oh. So that's good. I'm good. I'm glad I'm in Betty's good books. Okay. So,
all right.
So Lee.
This is another one I struggle with. Usury is wrong, but also free money hasn't helped either, because it's put people into positions where they're unable to pay that back because the money is accessible.
Okay, so that's not what this is talking about, though.
Okay.
Yeah, that is it's talking about the system of lending money,
yeah,
for return and then profiting from it, excessively profiting. The way I would interpret it for us is excessively profiting, but in Israel there are certain other laws. All right, Tola.
So I think this proverb is talking to the people within the fold of Christ.
Okay.
It's not talking to outsiders, because they will find it very difficult to practice all that we are saying now.
Yes.
They are doing business to make profit.
Yes.
And they don't care.
Okay.
Whether poor or rich, they don't care.
Well, okay, so I don't see, basically I think that those who are in the business are in business. There is a sense in which so making profit is not wrong. Is the first thing I would say. It's not wrong to make a profit. Otherwise, why would you do the business? You want to get a return on your activities. But on the other hand, making a profit, an excessive profit that gouges somebody else, cheats somebody else, that's where the wrong comes in. All right, so Christy, do you want to add something?
Yeah, if Lee and I decided we wanted to open a money mart, right?
Yes.
High-interest loans to people who can't get any other loans. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I do think, so that's a good example in our society. Now, our government allows that. Our government allows, you've seen the money marts around, and there's other cash stores and stuff like this, and payday loans. So what they do is you go in there, and they say, okay, somebody needs money. I got a paycheck coming in. you know, next week, and can you loan me money on it? And so then they get your paycheck, and the interest is very high. And I don't know. There's certain aspects of that I just am not comfortable with. I don't think the government should allow it, but they do. All right, so Gordon, I'll go to you next. I'm going to try to get to the next things.
It's just simple. They're taking advantage of the poor.
Taking advantage of the poor.
Yeah, I mean, I used to have some guys hired in the bush, and they didn't have bank accounts.
Yeah.
And they had to go to these money marts.
Yeah.
They cheated them.
Yeah.
But they knew they had no other resource.
Yes.
Right? And, yeah.
Yeah, it is. I don't.
Taking advantage.
Yeah. Of the weakest. People. Yeah. And that part that is a part of that our government allows. I really do not like. All right, Lee, go ahead.
I would counter that to a degree because I not like those businesses? Not particularly. They are shorter term loans and the risks are extremely high to them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And should someone who is maybe unable to pay their phone bill and they can take out one of these short term loans instead of losing it or whatever, or pay their water bill or hydro, you name mm-hmm. it. Should they be denied that ability? Yes, the risks are higher and they have to pay more for that. But like it's not a
I'm not making a blanket condemnation of them, but I do not like the principle.
Correct.
Okay? I don't like the principle. All right, so okay, I'm gonna let Fred say something and then Dennis and then we'll sort of try to wrap up. Okay, go ahead, Fred. Fred, it's your turn. Yes.
The American country.
Yes.
Number one democracy in the world.
Yes.
I didn't say righteousness. I send a donation to some country, money.
Yes.
It has to go through the American dollar, which automatically reduces my value of my money 30%.
Well, that's, yeah, it's okay. Well, that's a very complicated, exchange rates are a very complicated topic. And I do think the government's maybe ripping us off there somewhere, but I don't have enough expertise to talk about that. So Dennis.
I was going to say that perpetual debt, the state of perpetual debt is a form of slavery.
Yes.
Well, you mentioned in your last sermon that the credit debt is a necessary form of life today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's carried to that extreme. So.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
It's. Yeah, it's a very, so prudence, diligence, hard work, honesty, providing good services, mutual benefits, all of these are a part of how we should approach acquiring money. So I think we've hit all of those things, and I'll let Christy have one more say, and then we'll sort of wrap it up.
So I worked at a bank when I was in my teenage years.
Right.
And I think that it shows also that money is a snare because
yes.
they just, one day, they just offered me a line of credit for $15,000 as a teenager.
Right.
And I could have taken that and I could have blown it and I could have become a slave in my teenage years and it could have become a perpetual
sure.
thing
yeah.
and it would have been my fault.
Yes.
And their fault.
Yes. Well, yes, and the credit card companies, well, quite happy to offer you more. Another one.
When I was 17, I got like a $10,000 credit card with 24% interest or something crazy that's insanity.
All right. So, James, you're trying to say something too.
Yeah, I was just quickly mentioning to add to their comment. I was at the ATM the other day, and the ATM has you know, like checking your balance or whatever. There's even an ad for like apply directly at this ATM for a credit card.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so we can criticize. I mean, they're marketing, okay, marketing, but yeah, there comes a point where you think, okay, I've had enough ads.
Smart, I'll give it that.
Smart, okay. All right, so we've basically covered the topic, I think. I have the next section is how to lose money. Okay, so we'll cover that next week. Okay, let's have a word of prayer.
I don't know.
There, are. Yeah. My first thing on that is, do we need to know how to do this? It's, all right, so let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time to study these passages, to talk about them, think about them. Lord, I think pretty well. We are not in disagreement on any of these things. Lord, help us to apply this wisdom in our daily life as we seek to serve you in our society. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.